Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Michael Wilson, who is the new Tuolumne County Behavioral Health Director, is our guest in studio. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. He's been Tuolumne County's Behavioral Health Director for the past 4 months, recently stepping into the role. Next thing I want to ask you about, Mr. Wilson, is in regards to drug addiction-related services. What type of things are offered locally through behavioral health?
First and foremost, we offer an assessment. So, come in and talk to us, and we'll spend the time to figure out what level of care, what level of service you need. We have outpatient services, but we also contract with others to provide residential service. And my staff are very aware of all the different programs that provide even free long-term treatment to get someone on track and on the right path.
So, in versus out, so you can contract with others, find places for them to go to get help?
Yes.
Okay.
We have a drug court program, and a dependency drug court program is available as well if those criteria are met. But primarily, if someone's struggling with substance abuse, dependency, then, come in, talk to our staff, and we'll point you the right direction and get the help that you need.
And then for people who want to find more information, best way just to call your office again?
Well, for sure. That's a good first step. And our website has some information as well.
What would you say are kind of the drugs of choice right now that you're concerned about here locally?
Well, opioids are getting a lot of attention locally and nationally, for sure, and they are a huge problem, whether heroin or prescription drugs, a vast number of them. But I would argue that methamphetamine is still number one.
To get services locally for help with addiction, is there a waiting list, or do you get in relatively quickly?
Relatively quickly. We don't maintain a waiting list. If I know that we currently have capacity, and so there are groups available, and then there's staff to help you direct you to the appropriate treatments that we may not provide directly.
Is alcohol on the list of things that you provide help for as well?
Oh, any substance.
Okay. So wide-ranging. I also want to ask you about the issue of homelessness. Is that something that you're actively involved with, and how does that kind of tie into behavioral health?
It does. I'm hesitant to make a strong connection between mental health issues and homelessness. There have been some recent studies in other counties that the rate isn't as high as you think it would be. But we are definitely a strong partner in that. To meet the unmet needs of the mentally ill that are homeless, we have a ton of resources available, and we will definitely come to the table to figure out what, as a community, we can do about homelessness.
So you'll be one of the active partners working with the various others looking for solutions?
Oh, yes. It's a community-wide problem, and we all need to kind of pitch in and see what we can do about it.
Do you see, are there quite a few mental health issues that do lead directly to homelessness? You mentioned it's not, totally...
That's a sticky thing to tease apart. Mm-hmm. Poverty, losing a job, definitely having a mental health issue isn't going to help you strategize about maintaining your housing or finding resources or pulling in people. And some of your relationships may be damaged if you have had a long-term mental illness. But the connection is, I would say, is not as strong as people might assume. I do believe that substance abuse is a huge contributor to homelessness.
Kind of a generic, kind of more general question. The issue of mental health services, I've heard people say that it's harder to get services in rural areas opposed to more urban areas. Is that true, or are there challenges with rural areas?
Oh, yeah. There are definitely challenges, transportation being one. Probably within my first month here, I realized we had some support groups going on, and I asked, when they were occurring, and that they got out at 7:30, and then it wasn't until probably a month later I realized I believe the buses stop at 7. So, that right there is a gap in services. If we offer groups that last until 7:30, but there's no transportation for people to get home, they're probably not going to attend, or they're going to have to rely on friends, pay for a taxi, or other expensive options.
At the state level, and funding for mental health services, has the funding remained relatively stagnant over recent years? Has it increased? Has it fallen? Do you have any observations?
It's not as much as it needs to be, and there have been some issues with it remaining flat and not growing as it has in previous years. And there's also the Mental Health Services Act, Prop 63, what a lot of people refer to, the millionaire tax, that 1%. And that is expected to go down, and it is also being, that funding is being sought for other uses as well, so that would be a threat to our programming as well.
Another question I've heard kind of from people have asked before, you know, if somebody has a family member that they believe needs mental health services, but maybe that person's not willing to go, you know, reach out for those. So, you know, what's kind of the process of that? Is it, you know, a requirement that some people get services, or is it kind of up to them to decide if they actually want to be in different programs?
You're right. It is a voluntary program. Almost all of our programs are voluntary. The only one that wouldn't be is if someone's on conservatorship and someone else is making those decisions. There can be people that go through the court system, so they have pressure to participate, but it's still on our end a voluntary program. One of the things that can be done is to, as a family member or as a friend or a concerned citizen, is just to reach out about what services we might be able to offer the person that is being talked about, and then figure out ways to engage, to entice the person into services. We have a lot of peer staff, people that have had their own issues and actively recovered from them. They can go out and just kind of share their story, engage the person, and hopefully maybe win them over that our services can make a difference for them too.
The drug treatment programs that are offered locally in the community, are they generally fairly successful when people go into drug and alcohol treatment programs, or do they have relatively few people that get through them? What would you say?
I would say that I haven't looked at the numbers. So, you know, I could get back to you on that, on the exact percentages of the success rate. And then, you know, you also have to define what success is. I would argue anyone that's exposed to recovery, to treatment, is going to be better off. They're going to have a little bit of knowledge, and some clean time or some sobriety is better than none. But if you're talking about long-term sobriety and recovery, I don't have those numbers.
I know that kind of the community-wide efforts of getting, you know, people who need help, and then back kind of into the workforce if they want to be into the workforce. Is that something behavioral health gets involved with, or is that other agencies that help out with those type of things?
Oh, that's our goal too, you know, to return someone to the community, to be a productive citizen, to, you know, feel good about what they're doing, the life they're leading. That's where we're headed to, and that's how we want to help people.
You know, you mentioned the challenges of staffing right now. Do you have a fairly full staff, or do you have quite a few openings?
Quite a few openings.
So hopefully you can fill those over I'm guessing that's one of your goals?
That is one of my goals. We are actively advertising, and I'm using some of my connections and people that I know from other communities that might be interested in living up here, kind of selling the community for all of its, you know, charm and good nature, and hopefully we can convince some others to come up here and join us. And one of our main goals across Human Service Agency and with behavioral health is to grow within, to find individuals that want to step up, maybe improve their education and take that next step towards a professional degree and then getting a license. We'd love to see more people from the community kind of, you know, step up and grow from within.
You know, in general sense, how's that process work, getting people from the kind of the rock bottom up to where they'd like to be?
You know, supporting them, being flexible in their scheduling, sharing stories about your own education, how you did it, just making it as easy as you can. There are some incentives within the county structure to help people out that are employed by us to take that chance and go to school, put that effort in. It can be a difficult thing if you have kids, a family, or just other obligations. But you know, we're a pretty supportive organization and would gladly help someone move forward.
You know, I know it's a pretty wide-ranging job as behavioral health director. Any other just kind of goals or observations that are kind of top of mind as you look ahead over the coming years?
Yes. You know, one of my main goals is really just to be a strong partner with all the other community agencies and even businesses, to do whatever we can, always show up at the table and kind of figure out together how we can impact the problems of the community. Senses or sees, and also to be available to the community itself. So if anyone would want to, you know, come and chat with me and come to my office, I'd be more than happy to entertain that, because that's the way you get a feel for what's actually going on in the community and people's concerns, and then to be able to address them. There are some, I believe, misunderstandings about what behavioral health does as a government agency. So, you know, clarifying those with the community, with other agencies, is a big thing to do. So no finger pointing or anything like that, and every agency can kind of chip in within their domain as much as possible. There's always a little bit of gray area to kind of hopefully expand what we can do, but it's really just constantly being at the table and trying to figure out how we can work together.
What would you say would be like a common misunderstanding that people may think that behavioral health is?
That we're a broader safety net than we actually are. Again, we primarily serve the Medi-Cal population and the serious mentally ill. So you can have a substantial mental health problem but not meet our criteria. There are other health providers that are on task to assist those individuals, if we call them mild to moderate. And so we would point you that direction, but we aren't a huge safety net, as some think of us as. We're not, like law enforcement serves everyone. We do not serve everyone.
The people in your department, when you're helping different people, do you pretty much always help them in your office setting, or do people go out in the field to help people as well?
Out in the field as well as the office, and that's very important that we not tie ourselves to the office, that we meet people where they're at, that we reach out and engage people that might be hesitant to receive services. Some mentally ill individuals aren't motivated for treatment. They don't reach out. They may even, you know, run away from us to a degree. So, you know, to have that constant effort to meet them, ask them, you know, to go have a cup of coffee and just kind of form a relationship to then discuss what treatment might look like and get someone to start to make a difference in their life.
Hopefully you see a lot of success stories every once in a while as well.
We have some wonderful success stories for sure.
You need to take one more break. We're talking with Michael Wilson. He is the new behavioral health director for Tuolumne County. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. We've been learning about his background as well as goals for his department. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Again, a programming note next week on Motherlode Views. Be joined in studio by the new health officer for Tuolumne County, Dr. Robert Bernstein. He recently stepped in for Dr. Liza Ortiz, who resigned in the past year. Motherlode Views, again, brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. We'll return with our final segment with Michael Wilson in just a minute.